Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello?
Look, I'm going to level with you. I have my own things to deal with. After all, we are about to have a lovely landing.
The Orphans, an original cinematic audio drama, is now available.
And now, The Orphans Facility, an exciting new prequel series. Catch up with Season 1 with new episodes of Facility coming bi-weekly.
Flame On is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geeky programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
What's going on, everybody? This is Pat DeBear here with another episode of Flame On for your listening enjoyment. It is Microsode time, and that means we're throwing it over to BJ. You've been like king of the Microsodes lately. It's time for another episode of Now That's What I Call Gay Life. So, BJ, why don't you go ahead and tell us what we're talking about?
I thought I would give us kind of a break from the dating topics. I mean, I know most of gay life revolves around dating and or the same sex that you're trying to date. But I actually had a little interesting thought, an actual thought, not THOT. I would like to do a little thing about pop culture and gay life. I realize we've been around the bend a couple years, couple
ducats.
Stop
calling me old, bitch.
And I realize we've never sat down and had a little conversation about, like, because a lot of things are changing just in the past 10 years, television, music, movies, I mean, society in general. We've kind of hit the gas on everything. So I wanted to kind of peel back the layers I'm sorry, you were talking about onions earlier and now that's, so... But no, I wanted to talk about like kind of our own personal history with you know, homosexuality and pop culture. Like, when was the I'll go ahead and just toss out the first question. When would be the first time you guys actually witnessed homosexuality in pop culture, and how did
it make our loins tingle?
Yeah, I was gonna say, is it something that you found attractive? Is it something that, you know, you thought was funny, you thought was just a joke at first, and then, you know, a couple years down the line, you're like, oh, fuck, this is a thing.
Well, I'm old. Let me start. I've got less time left on this earth.
Oh.
Liberace. How's that one tickle you?
Really?
Oh, yeah. Think about, his era was like late 70s, early 80s, maybe like more like 70s, but by the time I was aware of him, like early 80s. And yeah, it was a complete and utter joke. And I thought, wow, gay people are crazy and weird.
Wait. Liberace, like...
Yeah. Like the piano player?
Yeah.
My Cousin George with the candelabra.
Oh,
the
okay.
one they made a Matt didn't Matt Damon star in that biopic?
Yeah, it was Matt Damon.
It was a movie because yeah. that I was very confused.
Who did you think I was talking about?
I knew you were talking about Liberace. I just didn't know you were talking about the biopic Liberace. So I was like, wait, 70s?
No, I'm talking about actual Liberace.
Actual Liberace. Okay.
Yeah.
All
right. I'm old. Remember?
I was like, if that was his first experience with homosexuality in pop culture, then that's a problem. Because that biopic did not come out that long ago.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
I'm pretty sure this podcast is older than how long it's been since that biopic came out.
Yeah, so literally think youngish, let's say 4, 5, 6, somewhere in there, watching TV. And of course the next thing's gonna be a little more of a downer here, but watching the news, seeing like Liberace on I don't even know what show it was, probably like the Ed Sullivan show or something, I don't know. And then seeing Rock Hudson being diagnosed with AIDS and dealing with that as the next thing that I experienced in gays in pop culture. And I obviously AIDS and gays aren't synonymous, but at the time that was, you know, the connection there, and it was like, wow, 1-2 punch.
Oh wow.
So yeah, you're welcome to my complicated life. It got better, so to speak. No, it gets better. But no, that was my first.
That was your
pop
your
culture. Yeah,
soiree. Pop culture soiree.
Are we taking like religion out of this? Because if we're gonna add religion in, let's just go for the full trifecta here.
I figured we'd hold off on religion because okay. I'm pretty sure we've all had some sort of run in with the Lord, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Law.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, just around the same time, all of that. Yeah.
Okay. So yours is significantly more educational than mine. So what's funny is, so you're like, how old were you again? You're like, what?
Like 4, 5, or 6. Like, I don't remember. It was early 80s and I was born in 76. So maybe up to 8.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Yours. Okay. Well, so like, what's interesting is because when I was growing up, I mean, my family wasn't as staunch Christians back when I was like growing up. This was the heathen phase of the family. And you know, there was, I was kind of, cause I was 1983, born in 1983, and just kind of grew up amongst like a lot of like Fraggle Rock and stuff like that. So it was till I was about, gosh, like I want to say 12 or 13. And I remember it as vividly as possible. It was an episode of The Simpsons, and it was the episode where Homer thought Bart was gay and he was freaking out about it. And it was funny because I was sitting there and it was, and what was funny is I didn't even know Smithers was gay. It didn't even occur to me.
Well, you didn't know what gay was?
It didn't even occur to me that Smithers was gay.
Wow.
I thought he was just a kiss ass.
Well, I mean, it's both.
Yeah.
But I
did the, like...
To be fair, they did make the gay part of that come out stronger later.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Early Simpsons, it wasn't.
But now going back, it's super fucking obvious. Like, every time, like, he would give... He would be like, Smithers, give me my sponge bath, and he'd be like, So it was.
So there's something we should talk about with this, because I feel like we're conflating gay, homosexuality, same sex attraction, same sex whatever, with the sort of like the way gay was played with earlier in entertainment and pop culture, which was
flamboyant.
Like Liberace wasn't, quote unquote, air quotes here, gay. At least in some respects, early on, he was flamboyant. Characters like from Bewitched, Paul Lynde's character, Uncle Arthur.
That was like Three's Company, right?
No, that was Bewitched.
Oh, is that Bewitched?
Yeah, yeah. What I said. Paul Lynde, like that was sort of a weird homosexuality as archetype, but not the male attraction, because you didn't see any of the actual like fully fleshed out gay characters until so much later, but the stereotypes that we still have, and you know, some ways are earned and some ways are ridiculous, like that is what it was. And so Smithers was that at first and grew into more of a, oh no, the dude's totally gay and he loves Mr. Burns.
Yeah.
So but, like it evolved. So
but that
you know,
was
you
that were, was the thing is I didn't even equate stereotypes with Smithers. Like, literally, Smithers to me was just a one-note kiss-ass guy. He's just literally getting paid to dote on Mr. Burns for whatever reason, and it didn't even occur to me. Like, it literally, like, because I had seen stereotyped characters on television a lot, like, growing up, but it never, like I said, in a million years, it never would have occurred to me. And that was the other thing, is that whole episode, it was, the guest voice actor was, oh my gosh, he did Hairspray.
Oh, Harvey Firestein.
No, Crybaby.
John Waters?
John Waters, thank you. John Waters was in that episode, and he was the one kind of taking Homer around and being like, well, this is our Muscle Queen bar. And it was just one of those things where he took it, like, it was the, I can't remember, it was like the fire station or something, but it was
the steel mill. Yes. I don't remember this episode like fully, but I remember that scene. I remember seeing that scene where the steel mill then turns into like the dance bar,
because he was gonna take Bart there to straighten him out, and yes, he was like, oh no.
That is literally the only part of that episode that I actually remember.
Exactly. Well, that's, and I don't even think I've seen it in the episode. I think I saw it either in a clip show or like some sort of
GIF
clip montage versus actually seeing it in the episode. Now I want to ask this, because I don't know, maybe I'm getting confused as to where the topic is. Are we talking about the first like actual homosexual characters, or just homosexuality in general? Because, like, I'm trying to rack my brain, because I'm really trying to, like, think about where I saw my first homosexual television character.
It's your first exposure pop culture-wise.
Okay.
So, like you know, Brian's it was more music-oriented and history and stuff like that.
Ancient history.
Let's be clear. I never said that. This is your lens of my life thinking it's ancient history.
No, you said ancient.
I said ancient.
I feel like Pat's making a good distinction. This is kind of what I was getting to.
Chisel.
Oh.
We're just documenting it on these stone tablets real quick.
That is something that I fully, there's a part of me that gets and relates to as part of me, and then there's this sort of stereotype of there's a flamboyant person. I wonder if they're also gay like me. So there's like different reactions to different things. So BJ, you mentioned earlier like you had seen other things prior. Did any of those connect with you like, that is like me, and I want to know more? Was there anything like that before The Simpsons?
No. Okay. Like, my only exposure at that point to, like, drag queens, I think, was actually, like, Bugs Bunny.
Oh, Bugs Bunny, teaching children about drag queens and opera.
Yep, and seeing, like, this was way past her debut, but, like, seeing RuPaul pop up in certain television shows, but this was way Sabrina the Teenage Witch, this show called Popular, where in the finale she was actually a character's mother. There was all these back when the WB was just the WB.
Just watching her VH1 talk show.
I never saw it.
That was my first exposure to Savage Garden. They were a musical guest on there at one point. Sorry. More homosexuality just rolled into more homosexuality.
But so that's what it's more along the lines of it could be the first character. Or it could, but it's just more along the lines of how it relates to pop culture, because later on I would like, we'll delve more into like how characters have been developed. But just for me personally, homosexuality wasn't like, it never even registered with me, because I grew up in Alabama, so nobody talked about it. I'm pretty sure like one of the band directors was gay, but he definitely like was a very muted person, because we were in like Auburn, Alabama. So it was one of those things where when I watched that episode, I was like, none of this can be real. And then I actually started paying attention to certain things, like when I watched episodes of Daria, when I'd watch MTV's Undressed was actually starting up around the time I was like somewhere between, it was age 14 or 15, and they actually had gay characters on it. I think Will and Grace wasn't super far behind. A couple years later.
So you were really seeing the emergence of mainstream acceptance of on-screen gay, fully fleshed out characters at that point.
Because I honestly, by that point, I didn't pay attention to characters at all. When I would be reading something, when I'd be watching something like a movie, I was a stereotypical 12-year-old boy. I was paying attention to explosions and like if I could understand what was going on. And at that point, horror movies. So like, it was one of those things where after I had specifically, I just remember it because after I watched that episode, I was like, oh, wait. And then not too far, then right after that, I would stay up late and watch USA, Weird Science, Duckman, which definitely Wings. Touched on a lot of Wings.
which has a notable homosexual character on it as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
Yep. So
which
it was,
that was just a joke. And then I remembered, oh, shit, Roy's son was gay.
So Golden
Abraham
Girls.
Abraham Ben Ruby.
Golden Girls.
And I had watched Golden Girls with
poor Coco.
My mom and my grandmother, and I did that episode. It didn't even, like, I know I had to have seen that episode, but it just went right over me because at that point, like, I had just started to kind of go into puberty. But at the same time, I was like, I still like cockroaches and picking up spiders and throwing them at people. Like, I was a very simple kid.
So this
kid.
Was Tuesday?
I mean, now I have more, like, I have actual, like, infectious species of insects that I can toss at people, but that's if I really hate them. So it's one of those things where it really just kind of exploded in my mind, and then now when I go back and I watch old episodes of certain things, like The Simpsons, and I'm just like, huh. I didn't even, like I said, Smithers was the biggest bombshell to me, and to this day, I still look, like, now he's more developed, but back then, if you see old episodes of Simpsons, it's on a thin line.
Well, it's, what do they call it, the Volkswagen effect or something like that, where once you see something, it becomes part of your consciousness, so now you see it more often, where it's like, oh, I've never seen this breed of dog before, and then you see one of them, and then everywhere you look, oh, there's another one. It's just how your brain works because you filter out the things that you don't necessarily understand or comprehend or are not something that you need to really pay attention to. And then once you do get that, it's part of your consciousness. Now it's like, oh, okay, I see how this happened or whatnot.
So I guess the mix-up in the topic is more the fact because my origins of, like, understanding homosexuality actually started, with literally watching a cartoon. Yeah. And then from there, it was mostly TV shows because I'm not going to talk to my family about this because they're insane. Yeah. Like, and then, like I said, I would watch USA. What would come on after in the morning during USA was World's Strongest Man tournament.
Oh, God.
And
I just wanted you to know you're proving the million mom whatever thing right.
It's
that homosexuality came from your exposure
Simpsons
to cartoons.
The Simpsons did it to me.
Yeah. So.
It was The Simpsons all along.
Although now they got to protest strongman competitions, lumberjacks, all these things.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, those World's Strongest Man competitions were always so much fun to watch.
See, and that was a whole nother awakening.
Yeah.
But
in your loins.
Yeah, and then it was funny because then, you know, eventually we get Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and, you know, it had, again, that hadn't even occurred to me that somebody could actually, because I'm like, oh, I'm a little bit like Willow. I thought I was straight.
Lesbian.
I very much wasn't, you know.
Now you're Lebanese.
Right?
Just like Danny Thomas.
So that's, yeah. But yeah, so that's more along the lines of what I meant, is if it have your first real exposure was all pop culture, because I was very much during that, like, MTV was actually playing music videos and had really good, like, cartoons and animation. MTV's Undressed was a very, like, sexual revolution type show because they had a lot of different they had stories about interracial couples, there were stories about gay couples, stories about gay interracial couples. There was bisexuality, which was that was actually one of the bigger things that, like, people kind of freaked out about, because I can't remember how well MTV's Undressed handled these topics. I just remember
horribly.
I just remember people freaking out about it, and I couldn't remember which side of the road was freaking out more.
I think it's to their credit that they would have these storylines, but I don't remember any of them being subtle. Well fleshed out.
Oh yeah, no, they were.
I mean, they were basically tawdry little, no offense, soap operas.
Yeah. No, they were definitely like
teenagers.
My stories handled it better.
I would say, yeah. Because
it took me a long time to try to, my old fragile mind cannot remember my youth so well. And it took me a while, and I had to dig back to where my first rememberable, like, homosexual character in pop culture was.
Which was
okay. I was waiting to be asked about it. I didn't want to just start my story. The first time I think that I can honestly really remember there being a homosexual character was on All My Children, and there was the high school teacher of one of like the main character's children came out as gay, and it became this whole thing, and the father like had this big issue with it, and it was like it had to be. Kind of, it was a teaching moment where the, you know, obviously the kid has a more open-minded stance about everything. And it's like, you know, this person, like, just because they're gay doesn't mean that they're any different and blah, blah, blah. And like, I think it was even a matter of like, well, you like Elton John and he's gay. And it's just like, it was one of those things that I'm like, and at that point in my youth, I was kind of like, all right, well, I'm watching things and I think these gentlemen are attractive, but I don't know like what that all means for me. But my mother, I watched All My Children with my mom. Like that's how my soaps watching all started, because when I was growing up, my mom was a single mother. And if I got sick and had to stay home from school, she would usually have to take the day off from work and stay home with me. So we would watch her stories. So from like 12:30 until, you know, 3 o'clock, I'm watching, you know, either Loving and All My Children and One Life to Live. And, you know,
I was just, didn't Will and Grace have an episode about this?
About what?
There was an episode where they were talking about a soap opera and like,
no, was they it did the same one though. It was an NBC, like, it was a sitcom. It wasn't a soap.
Oh, okay.
And they were supposed to have their first gay kiss. And the two characters like are about to, and then they pan away to a fireplace, and that's when they go to NBC Studios to talk to the higher ups about it and all that. And I forget where that leads to. So I think it leads to another storyline, but
yeah,
it that's where that started. But that was my first exposure to it, and then to kind of like gauge this with like my mother's reaction to it. And I mean, it'd be many years before I came out at all to her, but it was a very interesting way to kind of like be in that world of like, oh, okay, this is this thing. And my mom was a huge Elton John fan. Like it's permeated in certain areas of my life, but to see that and then from there building other characters to, you know, to see, okay, well, these are what gays are like. And they didn't portray him as, you know, a stereotypical flamboyant character. He was just a, you know, he was a rugged, attractive man, which is, I think, where that started. So my daddy issues started with All My Children.
Huh.
Thank you, Agnes Nixon, up in heaven. I love you. But yeah, I think that was really, you know, and then obviously, like you said, strongman competitions and other things where it was like half naked men on my television. And I was like, I'm okay with this.
See, was it Million Moms? See, now it's soap operas. You're losing shit left and right.
And what are they going to watch? What? I mean, that's pretty much their target demographic is moms.
Daytime moms.
Pretty much.
So Josh, what's up? You being kind of quiet there?
I'm just sitting here thinking, like, what was my first, I guess, exposure in pop culture?
Stranger Things.
Oh,
is there a gay character in Stranger Things? Is there any homosexuality in Stranger Things?
Well, yes. So
I mean, besides
season
you
three,
when staring at David Harbour on the screen.
So season three actually had a legitimately homosexual character. It was a woman, but...
We'll take it.
We'll take it. So, much like you, Pat, when I... Because my mom was single as well, and so whenever I would be home, we would watch soaps. However, I've never seen All My Children. It was Days of Our Lives for me.
Did you watch Passions?
Oh my God, yes. I didn't realize how bad it was
you
until
open
I got
up the
older.
Closet, and then there's these really bad fire and these little demons dancing.
It's just so bad. But we watched Days of Our Lives, and then of course after that was Passions. But I don't think Days of Our Lives had their gay character until like maybe mid 2000s, late 2000s.
Yeah, it started, I mean, I think the soaps kind of started to pull their like LGBT storylines around the same time in the early-ish 2000s. I think Mike Delaney, who's the character I'm referencing, was late 90s, like maybe 95, 96, maybe 94. But I know that they really kind of went for it in the early-ish 2000s because they took a prominent character in the daughter of Erica Kane, Bianca, and made her a lesbian.
Lesbian.
And it was this whole big thing. And I know that around that same time, some of the other soaps were starting to kind of run those types of storylines as well. By the way, I think All My Children is still the first one to do a trans storyline as well. They were very progressive until they lost so many viewers that they had to be canceled.
Womp womp.
And replaced with the Chew.
No.
But that got pulled off the air too. So justice for All My Children 11 years later.
Ultimately, I think my first exposure was Will and Grace. I did watch The Simpsons when I was a kid, but I don't think I saw that one episode until much later. And I have watched Golden Girls, but I don't think I watched that until later as well, because I didn't know anybody who would watch it at the time, because no men in my family would have watched it. And it wasn't on television, I think, when my mom would have been home and able to watch TV.
I also feel like that episode, specifically the ones with, well, there's like maybe one or two with the gay characters.
In Golden Girls?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you had Coco in the pilot episode.
Right.
Oh, that's right.
But then you had, anytime, there was a couple of episodes with Clayton.
A couple, though.
Like there were a couple. There were a handful.
Yeah.
And then, because Clayton, I think, came out, and then he came back with his partner.
Right.
And then there might have been one or two more, and then there was the one with Dorothy's friend, Pat.
So, I feel like, overall, in rotation, those are not played as much. Maybe now more, but when you were growing up, I would be pretty confident in saying they would not play those as much.
I would probably agree.
Yeah. So, I mean, you wouldn't have seen it, and then, yeah, you probably wouldn't have even thought about it.
And that's the thing. Like, going back, like, and I remember when Will and Grace came out, and going back to that, like, moving my clock a little forward to that point, I distinctly remember, in comparison to now, it, like, just being, people were just happy that a thing was being done. Like, people were just like, give us those gay characters, you know, give us a main gay character. And it was one of those things where a lot of the time we weren't really paying attention to how things were being written at that time, because we were just trying to get a foot in the door.
Oh, absolutely. No, any little nugget of validation and representation was appreciated. So much so that we did have a lot of really not subtle storylines.
Yeah.
Which is why now it's kind of refreshing with a show like, what is it, Euphoria? There's a trans character, and it's not even a big deal.
Yeah.
Because you're like, whatever, cool. Like, it's this show that I'll complain about at some point in the future. What's it called? Another Life on Netflix?
Oh, yeah.
There's a gender fluid character, and so far they haven't made a point of even mentioning it or drawing attention to it. So it's like, oh, no.
Sure.
But back then it was like, huh.
Yeah, so now that, oh, I don't know if Josh was done, I'm sorry.
Oh, I mean, there really wasn't much to say, but what Brian was saying about how any representation was kind of becoming a thing, it just reminded me of this interview that one of the writers of Will and Grace was involved in, and he was stating that, you know, it was one of the first shows to ever have a absolutely main character be gay, and they did not expect the show to actually even last. And the only reason why that they did is because this dynamic that they had where Will and Grace, you know.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The heterosexuals, they portrayed their relationship in a way that you would almost expect at some point. You would think that they would end up getting together. And, you know, because they made Grace's feelings for Will very prominent, you know, throughout the series. And so there's always that maybe
the flashback episode. So you reeled in one demographic with a can she turn him straight,
like, exactly
subtext, and then you like surprise, no, he gay. Okay, yeah,
I can definitely
see that.
And I mean, they did it really well, even in the points where, because I mean, we have all those flashbacks to them in college and her, you know, them. They're at her parents' house and she's trying to sleep with them, and then they have the is it Thanksgiving? No, it's when she is with Leo. So it's later in the series where Leo's ex-girlfriend comes over and they're all having dinner together, and it turns out that she's the one woman that Will actually did sleep with. And they end up you know, portraying like that, how distraught she was for that. So yeah, it really did. They did a great job having that dynamic of...
they walk that tightrope.
A straight rom-com or, you know, comedy with romantic leads, but not having that same thing. And can I just point out, I know I mentioned it earlier, but Wings was 1990 when we had the storyline with Roy's son, RJ, and he came out as gay to his father, and yeah, that was, I think, a pretty big moment for a primetime NBC, you know, sitcom to deal with that, and how much they put Roy to, like, oh, like, he wouldn't accept it, and then for them to finally have that breakthrough moment, like, that was a pretty big deal for back in the day.
Would you guys like to play a game here? Can you tell me the country and or year that the first openly gay and regular character was on television?
Oh, damn.
I want to say it's Britain.
Nope, but you're in the ballpark.
It's Europe.
Sweden?
I didn't say it was Europe.
Okay.
But you're in the ballpark. Don't think literally regionally ballpark either. think cultural ballpark. It's Australia. I'll make that easy for you guys.
Okay.
Oh. But now guess the year, because this surprised me.
19...
You're in the ballpark. You're in the right century.
75.
1981.
Pat's closer.
Damn. 1973? I was going to say 70s, but...
72.
Pat's got it.
Yes!
72.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, the opera, a soap opera. It was a soap opera, too. Number 96, and I've never heard of this before in my life.
Oh, 96.
Thank you. featured a character played by Joe Hashem, and that was the first openly gay and regular character. But again, having not seen any of these episodes, I would hazard a guess that it was still very... downplayed, stereotypical, no real relationships.
Right.
So. He had a lot of fiber. He was a good bottom.
What?
He said regular.
Oh, God.
You're just going back to that picture you sent, aren't you?
A little bit.
Talk
girl.
But, okay. So, I kind of like how we pretty much cover from, like, the 70s all the way to, like... or like
early 2000s.
Early 2000s.
When Will and Grace, is that late 90s or early 2000s?
98 to 2007.
Was it 98? I thought it was like maybe a little bit sooner.
Well, let's do this instead, though. What about so first gay representation, but what about first actual authentic love and or sexual representation that
I'm swiping that shit real quick.
I figured.
Oh yeah, that's gonna be Willow. It's Buffy the Vampire Slayer Willow for
okay.
me. So, I mean, not a personal sexual awakening, but it was one of those things where they were very, like, they would hold hands. They were very physical. They didn't shy away from the fact that they had sex. They actually had, they touched on a couple of relationship issues. So that one right there is probably.
There's a lot of.
Sorry,
head.
He doubted me.
Oh.
98. And now it's going to go into its third and final season for this reboot.
Yeah.
Which makes it how many seasons total?
11.
Oh, wow.
Is it did they only do 8 for the first run?
Yeah, they did 8 for the first run.
Yeah.
Oh, it was 11 years between 8 a.m.
Yeah. But no, yeah, it was definitely Willow from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, because it was one of those things where by that point in my life, I understood like what gay characters were and everything, and I very much understood my own personal like homosexual journey at that point, like where I was at, and to see it done in a way where it was very not bashful about things. But
did you want to eat out a lesbian and make her levitate in the air while she's singing you a song?
I mean, yes.
Okay.
But it was more because of like I being in my head, being a lesbian made you a better witch.
Probably does.
But no, that was one of the things where, and especially like as the series went, they had like real depth to their relationship. There was that episode where her ex showed up. There was the supernatural element to the show, but
are you talking about Oz?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There was the whole thing. I loved the episode where her family showed up with their like long list of lies and how she's actually a demon and blah 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 blah. And it was a very much you choose your family moment. You don't remember?
Who was a demon?
It was Tara's family shows up and they were like made up some big lie about how their family's cursed and how she's going to end up getting them all killed because they wanted to, effectively they took the women of the family and made them like slaves.
Gotcha.
And she ran away and went to college. But, you know, thanks to Spike, they actually figured out, oh, no, this is a lie. She's human and these people are abusive and terrible. So we'll be her family. And
did he try to bite her?
No, he punched her in the face.
Oh, okay.
Because he had the microchip.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's okay.
Yeah. So that was one of the things where it was a very much, you know, her family. It wasn't centered around her homosexuality specifically. It was more centered around the fact that she was a woman. But at the same time, it was one of those big lessons to me that you choose your family.
Yeah.
And it resonated with me actually more because I watched a couple of episodes of Queer as Folk, and Queer as Folk personally didn't resonate with me because it was like, I'm not rich and I don't live in Boston.
You're not skinny and white and good and
well,
dancing at the club every night?
Philadelphia.
Oh, it was in Philadelphia? Yeah. I was like, I don't even know what a bathhouse is yet. I was very like the whole thing confused me very much, and then
BJ runs a chain of them here in the southeast.
Oh,
that's why they call them that.
I make so much money. But that was, and it was kind of the same thing with Noah's Ark, where I was Noah's Ark. That was a whole nother chapter in my awakening that we can touch on a little bit later in this episode or in the second half. But no, it was definitely Willow and Tara from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. That
Josh has got something very exciting. Inside.
I wouldn't say it's exciting, but I was trying to jog my memory with gay characters or storylines and shows and stuff. So I actually had to retract my statement. Will and Grace was not the first. An episode of Roseanne, when Roseanne's mom came out as gay, that was the first thing I've ever seen. And then after that, I think it was probably Will and Grace.
Well, while you're talking, do you have a first memory of actual relatable, or, you know, maybe not directly relatable, but love and or sexual something that you remember?
I would say that would be Will and Grace.
Oh, okay.
Because to me,
yeah.
I mean, Will, I actually identified more with Will than Jack.
I totally can't say that. No, I'm just kidding.
But, like, anytime he would get a boyfriend, or talk about this guy that he liked. I was like, oh, yay. You know, like, that is how I feel. But I must not tell anyone.
So I've had to really dig deep here. And I don't know that I've actually scratched the bottom of the barrel as far as going back. But I think it's actually Real World from MTV.
Oh, my God. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah. So,
oh, my God.
Pedro Zamora, which was in the third season, one of the characters, one of the people on the show.
Third. It should be second season.
This thing says third. So
what city?
San Francisco. Third, I'm reading, immediately I'm reading Wikipedia, so.
Well, no, because the first season was
New York.
Oh, dear God. And that was my first MTV homosexual on there, because they was, oh, what was his name?
I can't even.
There was a gay character. There was a, on a reality show.
Human being.
there was a person who was a homosexual.
Pat. They're people.
I thought Pedro was season two.
I did too, but it's like season three. So anyways, so Pedro Zamora, and I don't remember his boyfriend's name or. Yeah, it wasn't husband at the time. But funny, related to comic book little thing, one of the other people on that show is Judd Winnick, who I don't know in the show if he was super close to Pedro, but I think he was, and has since done a lot of great comic books, a lot for DC, some really great Green Arrow books. And he's done a very personal graphic novel about his time knowing Pedro. It's available. It's always in print.
Oh, wow. Holy shit. I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, I've not actually read it. It's one of those things I keep meaning to get and I never do. But anyway, so yeah, I feel like, and again, I'm going to probably have an epiphany like Josh and have to make a last second correction.
That's fine.
I just think that was one of the most vivid early 90s. So I was in high school at this point. So, I mean, that was about the right time where I would have been interested in looking at that kind of thing and also coming to terms with it. But, and you know, it was very straightforward. They didn't, back then reality shows, though a little scripted, were not as salacious or ridiculous as they are now.
Oh, yeah.
On their way there quickly, but not as bad. So, like, what was portrayed was very, like, straightforward and believable.
Yeah, real.
It was real. Again, there was still editing and all that stuff, but because the whole thing with Puck, which was the big, you know, controversial tension, was this, you know, skater punk guy who they didn't get along.
Which I take it back. That was season three, because they were doing really well in the beginning, alternating gays and lesbians, because Irene was on season two.
Irene?
That's right.
In Los Angeles, and she was the lesbian.
I forgot about Irene. Oh, my gosh. So now I have to think about when that Simpsons episode aired, because I came into Real World late. I came in, I think, on the Miami episode was the season. That was the first season I watched.
But wasn't there a gay character in Miami as well?
Yes.
Yeah, I can't remember his name.
And Norman was season one. Norman was the gay man on season one of Real World. Then you had Irene, and then you had Pedro.
Yep. And so, okay, so yeah, so for me, if The Simpsons is just like what told me that, oh, okay, homosexuality is a thing, here are all the jokes about it, then The Real World is the show I would have watched next that actually was like, oh, hey, I'm a gay dude, this is the kind of things that I do, or like, this is like, I was like actually seeing a real person. So yeah, no, I totally get what you're saying there.
It's fascinating.
God. I'm going back and looking at some of these things, because Real World season four was in London, and that was the one where the guy who was a singer kissed the guy that was heckling him. And then maybe not a singer, but it says Neil Forrester kisses a male heckler during a performance, who then bites the tip of Forrester's tongue off. I was like, oh my God, I forgot about that. It was so much drama in these first like six seasons.
Oh, and let's not forget the last season that I watched was the New Orleans season, which has a recent celebrity that has kind of exploded lately. Karamo was in it before he found out he had kids, before he had a son.
Oh,
he was in that show as the secret second homosexual.
Secret one.
To answer your question about the Simpsons episode, that was in 1997.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
Which was a little later.
So now I have a retraction. Then it would have been Real World.
I was like, 92 is pretty far back.
Yeah.
For me.
So if it was the Miami season,
That was 96.
So I lived 96, 97. So it would have, they would have been right after each other. Holy crap. Yeah.
And The Nanny. Honestly, as I'm looking at this list, there are so like, many shows that I actually totally forgot about, like Moesha.
Where was the gay character in The Nanny?
So in The Nanny, also 1997, Fran's first official date with Mr. Sheffield is at a dinner party hosted by Elton John and his real-life boyfriend.
Oh, wow.
Now it's Elton.
That, jeez.
Interestingly enough, though, Married with Children had like a small handful of... episodes with gay characters.
Huh, that sounds familiar, yeah. But I don't remember who
this
they
is
were.
Interesting. I feel like I want to do a super cut of like every gay character that happened like from the 70s to like the late 90s.
Well, and Marcy Carcy Darcy was probably the first prominent like LGBT person in my sphere of pop culture that wasn't already big beforehand. Because that she came out as a lesbian during the run of Married with Children, and then eventually took on the role of, you know, like executive producer and,
oh, that's right.
And did a lot with that. And, like, that was a huge thing. That was also around, yeah. And then you had the same thing with like Sandra Bernhardt with Roseanne. There was a lot of
where did Ellen come in?
Oh my God,
this?
Ellen! Like, yeah. What are we
right
doing
after that?
So,
yeah,
yeah. Ellen was pretty early on as I was looking at the list. Yeah.
Well, go
was
like,
she 96? 95?
Did she didn't come out in her first season then?
Right?
No.
That was later.
Yeah.
Side note, just because I'm on it, the Elton John dinner party episode of The Nanny was actually the second episode with the gay character, but the first one. Same year, Fran went on a date with a gay man whose lover's family didn't acknowledge their relationship. So, just a little side note.
So, again, you would see these... So, after we got past the age of stereotypes, right, you would have these very special whatever, and they'd usually be fairly tragic, but increasingly in the mid-90s, from what I remember and what we're reading, it became more fleshed out, fully realized gay characters, and then... Will and Grace, I believe, is one of the first ones to have a kiss. Not a lesbian kiss was much earlier, but I think two men kissing was unusual, if
maybe,
not impressive.
I think for that network it was.
May have been prime time. It was the first prime time show or something. Yeah, I mean, because Real World was before that, but I'm seeing like,
yeah
big TV, you know, major
so
network.
So kissed?
Will and Jack.
Yeah.
It was when they went to the NBC.
Yeah.
It was the episode I mentioned earlier.
That's that, yeah. Okay.
Okay, so now...
That's how that ended.
So
that's
now
right.
I've literally constructed my gay pop culture web in my head. It goes, Real World Miami, the Simpsons episode with John Waters, and then an entire summer, because of Real World Miami, I sat down and I watched... The other seasons of, because they'd have marathons, I would watch all the rest of Real World and I'd catch up on the old seasons. And because at one point I actually sat down and watched Real World when it actually was airing back in the day before DVRs, y'all. You had to actually be home. But yeah, that's nuts. Like just hearing the dates and everything and lining everything up.
So, what about video games? I mean, we've talked a lot about TV, haven't really talked about movies, but are there any other areas of pop culture where you had like this?
Honestly.
That you noticed?
I remember video games being the one that pissed me off the most with gay representation. Video games bothered me actually up until up until recently, video games was the first time where I actually sat down and paid attention to how they were portrayed. Actually, video games and sci-fi. I remember sitting down and watching how gay characters were portrayed in those fields, in those areas. And I guess in my head, when it's a cartoon, everybody's fair game. Like, cartoons aren't meant to be taken seriously, and I never did take them seriously. But for whatever reason, when it came to video games and, like, live-action sci-fi stuff where we weren't portrayed probably in the best of light, it really bothered me when it got to, like, mid-2000s. And there was still no real representation. Like, around 2002, 2003, honestly, the only thing I can think of were these two bosses that, like, it didn't bother me that they were flamboyant. It bothered me because every gay character in a lot of the video games I played, if there were any, were all portrayed as villains. Every single one.
What video games are these? Because I
There was an RPG game. I think it was one of the Wild Arms games. It was either Wild Arms or something else. It was a Western-themed game. And, like, two of the main bosses were these twin, like, gay brothers who, like, they would, like, thrust at your face and everything. And they would, yeah, it was just very, like, I was with it until, like, all right, now they're just actively portraying us as like femme rapists, and I was like, "And I'm not cool with this." But that was the first time, and plus they were also men of color, so it was a double whammy. That's when I started to pay attention, actually started paying attention to our representation. When like I would go back and look at that Simpsons episode and be like, "I'm not okay with one or two things," but the majority of the episode, especially John Waters' character, was relatively handled okay, but then I would see things like Buffy where things were handled much better.
Yeah,
and then but yeah, no video games. I think.
I mean, it took a while to be honest for video games to have good stories. But I'm looking up again. I'm looking up stuff, and one of the worst, most egregious is
Poison
from Final Fight, which was in '89, which was a transgender female thug. She was one of the many baddies named for the '80s rock groups. Yeah, so that's pretty horrible. I'm trying to think. There really wasn't a lot. I was thinking Leisure Suit Larry might have had some gay reference in there somewhere, but that was probably a disparaging gay reference, knowing the content. But definitely something later like Dragon Age or I think even Knights of the Old Republic had gay and lesbian characters, or you could, in BioWare, in Dragon Age's case, turn your character that direction.
Speaking of BioWare, Mass Effect 2, think.
Yeah, so, I mean,
those are pretty modern games.
They are. Right? They really are. So, this gaming is definitely an area that's always sort of lagged in certain respects, and I think that's this is a great example. Because there's still not a lot of stuff out there that has queer content, but definitely more in the last 10, 15 years than there was before.
Yeah, and music-wise, I just thought everybody was all singers were bi. I just thought if you were like a rock star or musician, you definitely end up with somebody of the same sex at some point. So
fair enough.
As long as they had like blow or something.
Exactly.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
All right. So I think that's a fun little look at representation and our experience with it.
Yeah.
And the multi-layers of us having to go back and retrace our steps because we can't remember shit.
Our oniony selves.
And then have to go back to Wikipedia and look these things up. Which is fun because, I mean, there is so many things in there that I didn't even remember until it got brought up again.
Same.
Thanks. Like, thanks, Wikipedia.
Like Party of Five.
See, and that was the point of me doing this, to make you relive past trauma for my own personal enjoyment.
Exactly. Well, that will wrap up. And as a secret, we've been holding on to this. This is only part one.
Bum, bum, bum.
We're actually going to be doing volume 6 will be part 2 of this conversation where we take a look at current and maybe some future. We're gonna powers of 10 this shit and talk about 100 and 1,000 years in the future.
1,000 years from now, the war will be over.
It's okay. I'm gonna plant my Krakoa seeds. I'm hoping one of them is the mental flower, because then it'll be nice.
Is this the first to be continued type situation?
Oh my god!
Boom, boom,
boom. Brian, why do you have that knife?
If you are enjoying this or any of the other shows on the Nerdy Show Network, make sure that you follow us on all of your social media platforms. You can head over to flameonshow.com and click on our chicklets at the bottom and follow us there. If you would like to help support the Nerdy Show Network, because remember, we are listener-funded entertainment. LFE? I don't feel like that's a good acronym. We're LFE.
Liffy.
I feel liffy today.
Liffy.
We are listener-funded entertainment, so head on over to patreon.com/nerdyshow, and you can make a donation there. You can make a one-time, you can become a recurring patron, and just help us continue to do what we do here. And in probably 2 weeks, I think that's going to be our release schedule, you'll get to hear part 2 of Now That's What I Call Gay Life.
I don't know what the subtitle is.
I haven't figured it out yet.
Gaze of Future Past.
Wow, look at you.
That's why we keep you around, for these once in a while glimmers of brilliance.
I don't care what the internet says, you weren't a thirst ad.
Wow.
Just wait.
But if you are gonna be a thirst ad, can you hop on our Instagram and start posting half naked pictures so we get more followers?
Sure. I actually have one that I found from a long time ago that I sent my ex when I was about to jump in the shower. It's very subtle, but
tasteful.
It's tasteful.
Modest.
It's tasteful.
But thoughty all at the same time.
I was gonna put it on my Instagram stories to my close friends.
Ooh.
Well, that does it for us, and we will see y'all next time. Peace!
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.